WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to episode 581 of WBRB UK. All my letters are long, and I don't think I can stop doing this. Tim, help me!
No, help, I'll leave you to
help. Help, Tim.
It's funny.
What? Oh, jeez, I don't know what happened there. I've had a long day at work.
We'll go with that as an excuse, yeah?
Yeah. Come on.
Hello. Hi.
I hear you have had a day of internet-based podcast excitement. I hear you have gone, do you know what? I could spend another day in my secret garage of secretness. Pumping gas. And solving international crimes.
When I took a day off to set up all the new studio stuff that I hadn't done for. Yeah. Okay.
How is your cupboard that they're making you live in these days? Is it all right?
It's my bedroom, man. It's not a cupboard. It's got room.
I thought he was going with a Gordon T. Gopher type reference.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think cupboard. I'm probably out of the smallest room out of all of us, I think. Mine is a snug room. I am snug.
Hey, before we start talking about video games and video game, we can talk about video game related things. I haven't put it on the agenda, but did you guys see the trailer for the Borderlands movie?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think I've...
Yes.
Yes. Out of the smallest room.
I think
that
is going to be a fun hot mess.
Mine is a snug room. I am snug. It's going to be terrible.
I am snug.
But it's going to be great fan service along the way. Also, Cate Blanchett appears to have been stung in the face by a bee.
She's got quite heavy makeup on to look like a siren.
Yes. I don't know.
Kevin Hart as Roland, I don't get the idea of, because I think it's just because he's a very small man, but at the same time, that's the first time I've seen Kevin Hart in like advertising something where I've not immediately been put off because he's acting the least like Kevin Hart I've ever seen him do.
Well, I mean, I think it's quite funny that they've kind of put a short ass in the role of Roland. I think that's kind of quite... I hope they play off that a little bit. Jack Black as Claptrap.
I liked that.
It seemed less annoying than normal Claptrap, so
I'll give you that. I mean, I just kind of get a feeling it's a phenomenal waste of Jack Black's talents, potentially, if they're putting him through some kind of voice change of the whole thing. But
yeah. Well, they've got him doing a Claptrap impression rather than just being Jack Black as the voice of Claptrap. So, it's cool.
I know which one I'd rather pay money for. Just going to put that out there.
Tiny Tina being less Tiny Tina-ish. So that's good. I like that.
Yeah, she still annoyed me. She's still annoyed. This is... I don't know what it is. A little bit. Although I did slightly titter at the driving through the field of pee and her going, it's in my mouth. Oh my God.
That was funny.
That was all right. That was toilet humor. I found that funny. I thought there were some good bits of fan service in terms of the characters that showed up in the trailer. There was a couple of bosses I recognized from Borderlands 1, I think. Or Borderlands 2, it might be Borderlands 2, kind of the pirate guy.
It's easy to mix them all together after all these years, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's very much they've just gone for like the big hitters for the fans. But is it a film that ever needed to be made? Probably not.
But you say it's going to be good fan service. I actually think almost the opposite. I think fans of the game may not take as kindly to it as other people might. I think it's going to
be a silly fun film.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a silly fun film for people that aren't fans of the games, basically. Right. Whereas I think it could be a harder thing to swallow for mega fans of the game.
It's going to be an Uncharted, which I know is probably an insult for a lot of people because I know that film is kind of regarded as really bad. But
I liked it.
I very much enjoyed that film,
and I'm a fan. Don't make me say Rise again.
I liked it more than Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. I'll give it that.
I enjoyed. My cat had a floor based poo accident this morning. I enjoyed clearing that up more than the Crystal Skull, I would argue. So, you know, it's not exactly high praise.
I mean, did the poo contain really bad CGI monkeys that ruined the moment for you? Because, you know.
To be honest, I was gagging, so I didn't really notice.
Oh, what, in Crystal Skull, yeah?
Both. Right, that's okay. Kind of what made me, just took me back to that place. It was just kind of a whole body just, no, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. I in some ways, I kind of, to give it its dues, I thought they did quite a cool job of matching the visual style of the game. I thought the kind of the quick kind of hit of here's what inside the vault looks like, that looked quite cool. But yeah, I do not have high hopes. I think it's the kind of movie that I could quite happily while away an intercontinental flight with, put it that way.
Right,
just turning my brain off.
I think I'll have fun with it. I don't think I will care about it deeply.
Wow. Do you often make deep, deep emotional connections with the films that you watch?
I mean, I would say I love The Matrix. I would go that far. I would love Star Wars. There are movies I love.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the new Dune because that's getting rave reviews and... very much looking forward to that, and really like the first one.
Just completely derailing ourselves on the new Dune movie. Like kind of the side by side cuts of the scenes from the original movie and the new the new one is. And frankly, I hadn't really, a lot of movies from your younger years or that came out ages ago. You kind of, when you replay them in your head, they're through rose tinted specs. And some of the effects were terrible in the original Dune movie.
That movie's a mishmash of like really cool, like the original 84 ones, mishmash of like really cool bits and really very subpar bits, and then crazy bits that kind of don't really fit into either category, but are insane. But yeah.
So the bit I saw was the kind of the fight scene between Atreides.
That's a big difference.
and Patrick Stewart. But there we go. Anyway, we are completely derailing ourselves. And we appear to have lost a coal man. Where is the coal man gone? Talk to us through the medium of the soundboard.
Can you seriously not hear me?
If he's able.
Can you not hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, the camera died, but my voice is still here.
Okay.
Oh.
And StreamYard does not allow you to fix your camera
ghost.
On the... Let's try that again without Tim talking over me. StreamYard does not allow you to fix your camera on the fly while you're recording, so... You've got cameraless Coleman today. Sorry, guys. Anyway, let's
talk about
agendary things. Yes, let's do that.
So, Tim, you have a little asterisk next to one of the games you need to talk about, which makes me think that a company is going to unleash legal hell upon you. If you don't talk about it this week. So Howl.
I am obliged.
Howl is a game I understand. Yes. I understand you are contractually obliged to talk about. So make good on your contractual promises, Timothy.
Yes.
Hit me with some knowledge.
And anyone that doesn't know, and I'm going to go a bit inside baseball and behind the scenes here for a second, but anyone doesn't know what the asterisk means and what Dan was alluding to there, when we asterisk something on our agenda, it means that we got a review code for it. So saying up front that I've got a review code. The bit I'm going to get a bit behind the scenes on is I should have received review code some time ago through some email snafu. It didn't arrive in my inbox. And I ended up playing the demo of this. And I think I spoke about this when it came out in January. But I should have got a review code sometime before that because I did apply for it. Now, there's going to be a bit of a mismatch between my opinion of the demo and my opinion of what I've played so far of the main game. Now, you could say that's because I'm a shill who is shilling for people that give me review codes, and I was negative before because I didn't get a review code. If that's,
Your opinion on the demo was not great. You were not a fan of the demo.
Indeed. And so I wanted to highlight that so I'm not kind of, you know, escaping that fact. And I would say that some of my criticisms that I made of the demo, which I'll come back to in a moment, are still valid. But that having a bit more time with the game and getting a bit more information, because I've seen the price of the game as well, which does kind of lead into, you know, what garners my whole opinion of the thing. But also just mainly spending a bit more time with the game, I abandoned the demo before the demo actually ended. I disliked it that much.
Okay.
But I've now gone back in. It does one thing that I actually like, and I've yeah, sorry.
So, Tim, let's just back up. I've heard Howl. I've heard you play the demo. Something about emails that made me slip into a coma.
What kind of game is this?
What kind of game is this?
So, it is a turn-based strategy game, although I criticized it for not being that much of a strategy previously and being a bit trial and error-y. But it kind of... I think it got announced on a Nintendo Direct or something like that previously. And it had, you might remember it from a kind of fairy tale inked kind of style. And I can't remember exactly how they refer to it, but it's got a kind of hand-drawn ink kind of look to it, basically. It's kind of... It's animated, but it's not like fully animated as well. So there's kind of almost like deliberately like dropped frames between some of the animations. So it looks very much like a storybook coming to life rather than a fully animated kind of thing. And that kind of suits it and it kind of looks good. Although I would say on the graphical side, my criticism before is still slightly valid in things that do tend to get a little muddy and tend to get a little lost on screen sometimes. But it's not too bad. Also, one of the things that helped with my enjoyment of the game and that I criticized it for is I couldn't find how to turn assist mode on. And basically, in the turn-based strategy thing, it's all kind of laid out on a grid. And part of my problem before is that it was very much a trial and error of just kind of trying to find the path through things that led to you not getting eaten. And the Howl refers to wolves, and most of the enemies, at least the enemies I've come across so far, are all kind of werewolves, and they are able to turn other villagers, mainly in the form of strangers that appear on the map, into wolves as well. And you had to avoid them doing that while killing the wolves, and you've got various different powers that you have to overcome things.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why not just liberally apply bacon sandwiches everywhere, thereby distracting the wolves and saving the universe?
I'm not sure you've encountered a werewolf before, Dan, but I don't think that's a valid tactic. That's all I'll say.
You don't
I mean, I do
have other sandwiches available that are less made of less culturally sensitive materials.
But rather than bacon sandwiches...
Would they not be interested in sandwiches?
You are armed with arrows that you can fire in a straight line across the map.
Okay.
But you have a limited supply of arrows. I think it's generally three that you have. I don't know if that's upgradable later in the game. But then you also have a variety of powers that are only available on a certain turn. So, for example, you can do one kind of movement or firing of an arrow, but then on your second turn, you get the option to you can move or fire an arrow, but you also get the option to do a smoke bomb, which has a kind of area effect where it guards you from being attacked, basically, by the wolves and other things. So, but the assist mode that I was mentioning before is very good to turn on and makes it a bit less trial and error-y, so did make increase my enjoyment of the game generally. And the assist mode, like, adds arrows to the map so you can see the movement of those wolves. And it, as I said, it takes away a bit of the trial and error. It also highlights when you're going to get munched by one of the wolves. It does make it a bit overly simplistic in terms of, like, I now know a bit too much information. I don't know what the solution is, but there seems to be a halfway house between the two might be a bit of a better solution. But I do prefer playing it with the assist mode on, and I think that should be the default from the start rather than what it starts with the assist mode off.
Would you then kind of describe it then? What I'm kind of hearing kind of two bits of this. I'm hearing one, it's a turn-based game. The other bit I'm hearing is like, it's actually a strategy. It's actually a puzzle game. I mean, is it?
Yes. And that's one of the odd things that I think I thought was lacking in the game design, but I don't know if it's a strength or a weakness, but basically, as I said, there was too much trial and error when I was playing through it the first time and you had to restart the level, and you can undo a couple of moves so it does offset that a little bit. But it kind of you want to try and find the critical path through a level, but not all levels will have a critical path where you can do the two objectives which you want to do is one, fulfill the kind of prophecy, as it phrases it, of you getting through the level in a certain number of moves. So you might have three total moves to get to the end goal, but some of the end goals are killing all the wolves. But in most levels, you can just move through to a flag and escape the level at that point. But you also get skulls for killing wolves. And they do tell you at the start of the game, they're up front and say, not all levels are solvable where you can kill all the wolves and escape in the given number of moves that get you the two different currencies you need to unlock and upgrade things, basically. And so that meant that you can go back and replay levels to play through them differently. But it also, when I was doing too much trial and error, that was a bit too much. Like, I didn't want to repeat a level where I'd got fed up of it because I was doing too much trial and error the first time. That's lessened when I'm going through it the second time. You know, I don't mind going back to the second time when I haven't got fed up of it once, basically, is what I'm saying there. But then, yeah, also getting a bit deeper into the game, you unlock more powers. It becomes a bit more tactical in terms of you've got more choices available to you, like using that smoke bomb. And you can also, the one move that I haven't mentioned you can do, but waiting becomes quite a good tactic as well, because the movement of the wolves, if they come too close to you, they can kind of pounce on you. They can kind of get you from a distance. And so you're kind of making sure that you're not in the row or column where they can pounce on you. Doing stuff. So it could be good to use the smoke screen and then wait for a move for them to get closer to you so you can hit them with one of your powers, or wait for to be one wolf behind another so you can hit two of them with one of your powers at once and stuff like that. So there does become a deeper tactical element to it as you get deeper into the game and as you open up powers. And I think I did make that caveat when I was talking about the demo that I didn't see that, and that might be something that adds more tactical depth to it. And it does. There's also a bit of variety in terms of there's alternate paths you can unlock, and you have to use some of the upgrade stuff that you get to unlock those paths. So you get skulls for killing wolves, and you have to trade in those skulls for information that will unlock some of the alternate paths and stuff like that. And otherwise you use the stuff for the stuff you get for the prophecy is used for upgrading your powers and stuff like that, basically. So, yeah, as I said, it definitely adds a bit more strategic depth as you get through the game. And I've got to the point where I came away from the demo hating it, and I've come away from playing this for a bit more time. And I don't absolutely love it, but I do like it. And I can see me playing more of it because it's I've been playing it on Switch. I should have mentioned that. I've been playing the Switch version. I think it's a good game for a second screen type game because you can be watching TV while I could happily watch football while playing this because, you know, I don't have to pay that full attention all the time. And then I can take turns and do stuff like that. So it's a good second screen game and it's suitable for that purpose. So I think that's probably the best platform to play it on. Although I will say it's also on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X. And on PC via Steam and I think Epic Game Massive Store as well. So yeah, it could be a good one for your Massive Deeks and Massive Deek. For that. Also, as I said, the other thing that filtered into my deeper appreciation of it is the fact that it's only $12.99. So it is a bit cheaper than I was thinking it might be, basically. It's not too bad for that price.
Actually, there's a discount on at the moment for the Nintendo Ooh. Switch version. So I think it's more like £13.50.
That's not a discount from $12.99.
That would be wrong. Sorry, £8.50, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got to write it down.
Coleman, have you been taking financial tips from Tim again?
No, I just my agenda's to the other side of me, and I just sort of glanced okay. look and got the wrong
but
price.
But for that sort of price, it's definitely got it's got more of its claws into me to use a slight
like a wolf. I see what you did there.
See.
You little scamp.
where I was expecting to not necessarily recommend this and not play it any further than my contractual obligations, as you put it, I can actually see me picking this up and playing a bit more of it just to get a bit deeper into the game, see a few more of the powers and see how it works out. And there's enough there to recommend for that sort of price as well, especially with the discount. So, yeah.
Okay. But it's currently $12.99 on other platforms, and I have just checked. Tis verified for your massive Steamy Deek.
Ooh.
My turn.
Your turn, Colm. Go on, then. Now you've got your camera face back.
Hope it lasts. I have been playing Final Fantasy... Skull and Bones! Yay!
What?
Why did you do that to yourself, Colm?
Hang on. Whoa.
I was curious.
So they've released a demo now.
Pirate Curious.
So you can just double-check that this really isn't for you.
This is the dumbest thing. It's kind of genius and dumb at the same time. They've released a demo that gives you 8 hours of game time.
Well, now, can from I just some say, of, that's all you need.
That's what I was going to say.
Six more hours than I need.
Yeah, well, there was a few of the reviews I saw, the ones that were actually kind of praising it, went, there's about 16 hours worth of gameplay here. Well, 8 hours I can settle for then. And I booted it up because I was trying to play Helldivers, but I was stuck in the never-ending loop queue of server overload. So I jumped into Skull and Bones and played that for a couple of hours. It's not great, is it?
Do you see what I mean about how just soulless it is? It's just a soulless game.
Dull.
It just so exactly, and it could be anything you're trundling around in. It just so graphically so happens to be a ship on some water. There's no bloody sword fighting as far as I can work out, which is something I didn't pick up on and should draw attention to for a pirate game. That's rubbish. Boarding another ship is just sail up next to it and press X and keep your fingers crossed. That's rubbish.
Just to kind of reiterate what we were talking about last week as well, because we thought it'd been in development for 7 years. No, it's 7 years from its announcement. It's actually been in development for 11 years.
And
you can tell it's an 11-year-old game. But
even worse.
As I was discussing with a man called Rick, he was saying that there's a series that we both like to watch called What Happened from Matt with Muscles, and he makes different documentaries on films or video games that have like really bad reputations or bad development histories to them, and this has to be one because there is a lot of politics behind this game behind the scenes.
It's 11 years of content.
Lots of different aspects of Ubisoft, including some of the controversies that we've covered on this here show in the last few years. So that'll be worth hearing about in the future. Anyway, that's enough of Skull and Bones. I wanted to add in that
is it quadruple R, though? That's my question, Colman. Is it quadruple R?
No. I mean, the quadruple A, it's only if you're going, ah, but that's about it. that's about
absolute rubbish.
I don't know, maybe there's a multiplayer aspect to have fun with, but just playing it with randos, I just
come on, let me pause you there. Let me pause you there. You'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like when you're originally starting out and you're in a little small boat, just like sailing around, picking up junk and harpooning sharks.
Not that
that stuff's quite fun, but it just looks so dated and rubbish. It's not fun. It was quite dull, and it's very great. I mean, live service games, I'm kind of over live service games, which we'll talk about in a moment with Helldivers. But Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which was I was meant to cover this last week but didn't get the chance to play the game, the demo's been updated now, so I'm still playing it. And much like the Skull and Bones demo, this is once you've played this section of the game, you can carry your progress forward into the main game.
Except the difference between this and Skull and Bones is that you'll actually want to, from what I've heard.
Yes. So this is, as previously discussed on the show when I was playing Final Fantasy VII Remake, this is a sequel to Final Fantasy VII Remake. It is a very good game. And like also discovered several times on this show, this is not a remake of Final Fantasy VII. It's kind of like a sequel to Final Fantasy VII in that the remake is not a remake of the game. It's someone's been messing with the time stream kind of thing. Someone's messing around with events of the game. So
things
will be familiar, and then all of a sudden things change. And this is at the point, just past the point where things start really hitting the fan towards the end of the previous game. This takes place, the demo specifically takes place at Nibelheim, the kind of flashback sequence you get where you're Cloud, Tifa, and Sephiroth, and a random guard who may not be a random guard. Ooh, spoilers in the actual game. Anywho, so yes, still the same enjoyable gameplay. It's that the not the turn-based action of old. It's very much an action RPG with a Final Fantasy wrapping to it. It is very, very enjoyable. And if you enjoyed the previous title, you'll want to be playing this. Now, where I found issue, and it's only a small issue, but it's an issue nonetheless.
Not a big issue.
So this has the performance mode and the visual mode, much like most games do on the current generation. The performance mode makes everything shiny and makes me feel sick to play because of all the juttering.
Oh.
The performance mode, it kind of does that sheen of Vaseline over the lens, much like seen in the last Star Wars game that I was complaining
about.
Are
you
sure
you were not just very, very happy?
No. It's very blurry and I don't like it. And this is particularly egregious, and much like the Star Wars game, this is particularly egregious whenever you're in an outside area, which is not great for an open world game. well, not open world, open level. I guess I don't know what we call that, but whenever you're indoors, it's in the reactors and things, it's not so noticeable. Whenever you're outside, it is much more noticeable. There have been graphical improvements to the demo through updates since last week when it was released. However, it is still there, just not as, and it's not as egregious as Jedi Fallen Battle. Oh, I can't remember what the sequel was called. They're silly names.
Fallen Quality.
But thank you. Yeah, that one. Fallen Quality to Electric Boogaloo. It's not as egregious as that, but it's still noticeable. And it's kind of that thing where they took Remake and they released that on the PlayStation 4, obviously better on the Pro, and then when you played that on the then they re-released it for the 5 and went, hey, same game, 4K, HDR, 60 frames a second, looks great. I kind of wish they just stuck with the original engine that they did that in and made this game that way instead of going all out. Because don't forget, this game is going to launch solely on the PlayStation 5 before it makes its way to PC. And maybe other platforms we don't know yet. But you're not really showing off the power of the PlayStation 5 when you go, it looks like this. And it's not a great look. And it's an argument for them to then go, hey, we're going to make a PlayStation 5 Pro and probably sell it to you at Christmas this year.
I think the challenge is, though, is that people just... I don't necessarily think people quite appreciated how much of a challenge to get super shiny, awesome-looking things at 4K at 60 frames a second is a massive ask of home consoles. And you're right. It's kind of like, would they be better sticking to the old engine, delivering a solid experience that might not necessarily have all the graphical bells and whistles, but would probably be a better...
It looked amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, though. Reviews came out for this today, and all have been very glowing. And I didn't hear anyone talk about technical performances. I know you might be a bit more sensitive to that than most people, but I'm wondering if the main game is improved upon the demo.
I will have to see, but I mean, it is just a section of the main game that they've put out for the public, and it was only a couple of weeks before the game came out, so it comes out. So I don't know. I have the game pre-ordered. We'll see.
But sometimes demos are based on old builds. No, I know they've updated it as well, but.
Yeah, we don't know. We'll have to see when the game turns up. But that's the thing. When the Star Wars game came out, all the reviews were glowing, and it was an amazing game, and it was a technical achievement. And then I went, wow, this looks like arse. I hate this. And I'm not saying it's that level. Once again, it's still very enjoyable. I'm enjoying the game, but they're definitely, when you put it in performance mode, it does look like it's taken a graphical hit over the previous game, which is a bit of a shame. But I'm still looking forward to playing.
Is it just that, I haven't seen it myself, so it's difficult to kind of know, but is it like it's running at a noticeably lower resolution, or is it that they've kind of, it's kind of the lighting quality is also bad, or I mean, what makes it look so?
It's
so
fuzzy,
terrible?
Dan. It's fuzzy. Okay. Like everything's blurry.
Fuzzy wuzzy.
You know, it's.
I have a question, Mr. Coleman, if I may.
Okay.
I really liked the first game, and liked the time I did spend with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Played it quite a lot, but that was my question. I never finished it. I think I'm less interested in this version.
You should
because
be.
Because I didn't finish.
Finish the first one. It's a direct sequel to the story. Finish the first one too.
I don't know when I'm going to fit that in before the release of the game. So, what you do, Tim?
Tim, I know, okay, here's a little tip. Here's a little tip. It's not a race. Just finish the first one. You got time, all right? And then by the time you get around to the second one, it's probably going to have dropped in price. Well,
I don't know if you noticed, Dan. We do this thing called a podcast.
Yes, but I'm covering it. You don't need to. It's fine.
Exactly, you can do it on your own time, mate. It's fine. You can enjoy yourself. Kick back, relax, Tim.
Do not jump to the sequel. I bet you go out and watch Creed before you see Rocky 1-6.
I mean, no, I'm not sure I saw the last Rocky, and I bet you go out and see Creed 2
before you see all the Rocky films and the previous Creed.
I mean, in all fairness, Coleman, I think he got very confused when he watched Star Wars Episode 4. That confused him no end, and I think he's just been kind of scarred by that. He's like, well, this is how you start things partway through. This is normal, surely. Yeah.
Real talk, as a child, start with part four.
I only had
A New Hope and Return of the Jedi. So I didn't see The Empire Strikes Back until I was like 15.
Wow.
I grew up with two films missing the middle bit.
Wow.
It was very weird. And then I saw it go, now I see what everyone's raving about.
And the bacon in that sandwich is the best bit, I tell you.
Quick shout out on the demo to, there is a mini game piano thing that you're going to find pianos in the game and play different Final Fantasy tracks on. And I low-key love that. So I was just sat there playing Tifa's Fiend over and over and over again until I could get the highest star rating on that.
And is it like a proper mini really game, good. Like kind of Piano Hero, as it were?
You have two different sections that are controlled by your thumbsticks. The left stick controls chords and the right stick controls regular notes. As you're playing, there's like a metronome going off and the notes are going sort of slowly. And then as you get better and it takes away the metronome and you start doing little flourishes in between notes. And then if you start getting notes wrong, then it drops down again. So yeah, it's a little bit Guitar Hero-esque. It's a bit Parappa the Rappery in that type of reward.
Does a lady with an improbable fringe turn up and demand that you play piano songs?
Claudia Winkleman? No, not at all.
You don't get Claudia Winkleman. You know who Claudia Winkleman is, though, Carmen.
Yeah, I know who Claudia Winkleman
doesn't watch TV.
For the piano.
Oh, this is
true. I don't watch TV.
All right, fair enough.
You get this.
You're missing out. Not
that's why
that.
I have time
Piano's
for all
tedious.
The Final Fantasies and yeah, even
true.
Playing Skull and Bones demos.
That's not true either. Dude, in all fairness, you'd be better off watching telly than playing the Skull and Bones demo.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Pirate TV.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Final Fantasy, it was only the visual thing on the demo that was annoying me. We'll see how that translates to the main game when that's out. Fair that's got to be out this week. Next week? When's that?
Next week. I've got February
29th
of February.
Mm-hmm. For a big old chunk of money 99. If you buy it on the... Yeah, that's a big old chunk of money, mate.
Mm-hmm. If you, were you about to say money. If you buy it on the PlayStation, the only platform it's available
the only place
on?
No, but
if you... Is it digital release only, though?
No, physical.
Okay, so you might be able to find it better for a better nicer price than
that. Yeah, game collection.
Physical.
Game Collection did a thing a couple of months ago where they went, hey, you get like 9 times the points on any game. So I bought like 2 of the games that I wanted and got loads and loads of points. So I knocked
about. Didn't tell me about that, Coleman, eh?
You know what the internet is, Tim. You know you can look on these stores and find things out yourself, right? Do I have to tell you about every deal going on?
You could. Clue me in on things on the game collection, knowing that I've got an account with them now. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I had loads of points and I pre-ordered WWE and Final Fantasy and it knocked like £25 off the price of, wow, of the two, okay, of them combined. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Looking
that
forward.
That is nice.
That is nice. I refuse to pay £70 for AAA games.
What about quadruple A ones though?
Yarr! I'll only play 8-hour free demos, I'll have you know.
Can't take more than that. It's the excitement I can't deal with.
Wait. I won't pay for games. Yarr!
It's not piracy if they give you a free demo, Colin. It's not piracy. No,
yeah, exactly. Tim's right. It's not piracy. It's idiotic marketing.
You wouldn't download a boat.
No, seriously. Real talk. I wouldn't download Skull and Bones, full stop. That's what I wouldn't do.
Piracy is a crime.
Yeah, that is a crime. Anyway. Rarely we've got a game that all three of us have played. I talked a bit about it last week, and I even played a little bit of this with Timothy Hibbs.
Yes, last night. Indeed.
That must have been infuriating.
To be fair, only a little bit. I mean, there was a bit of. I'm not going to lie. There was a 5-minute segment where there was a live reading of menus. Okay, there was that. That happened.
I mean, you got to expect that with me. That's a given, that happened.
Right? I mean, Kev, bless him. So me and Tim were playing with Kev and Jamie. We were playing Helldivers 2 on PS5. And Kev, bless him, took it upon himself to explain game mechanics to Tim. I think that's an hour of his life he wants back. Just FYI, Tim.
To be fair, you'd already explained how to like link my Discord to my PlayStation, which I didn't know was a thing.
Oh,
as
God.
Well, but, yeah.
I was... No, he did... Coleman, he did it.
Oh, yeah. God.
It was amazing. Yeah. He
sent me instructions, got it done.
I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed. But anyway... So Helldivers 2, for those of you who've been living under a rock or didn't listen to last week's episode, or both, is the follow-up to Helldivers. Unlike the original, it's a third-person squad-based purely PvE experience where you've got to dispense managed democracy across the universe to evil bugs and maybe robots who are trying to stop the wonder that is Super Earth. It's a game that takes itself not at all seriously. It's wonderfully stupid. Freedom is how I would describe it. And it's a wonderful, chaotic mess.
I would describe it as legally distinctive Starship Troopers.
Yes. Although, that is assuming, of course, you can actually log into the darn thing and enter the problems from last week. Because, my God, it was literally the definition of victim of its own success. You know, I'm a Brit. I love to queue, but I was there for 45 minutes and then it just pooped the bed. It was very frustrating.
I was talking to Kev about this last week because I really wanted to play. I was having a little moan because every time I logged into Helldivers, it put me in a queue and it kept on going. And I waited half an hour at the most and went, I can't wait for this. And at some point, they actually opened up the cyberpunk style refund system on PlayStation, which is very rare, as we call it, the cyberpunk style, for people that just got fed up and haven't been able to play this game, even though they bought this game and it shows them having logged time because they've been waiting in a queue for however many hours. I waited half an hour and tapped out then, and Kev went, oh yeah, I waited 40 minutes, but I got in. Like, I had an hour to play a game. I do not want to spend 40 minutes of it waiting. but yeah, I eventually got in and got to go through the tutorial, do a couple of missions, and then go back. It's got an interesting hook. Won't cover it too much because Dan did last week, but I enjoyed the little I played of it. I assume myself playing more of it. It's got that games of a service feel of like, what's the main takeaway of this? Oh, we're all heading towards the same goal and unlocking loot along the way. Here's a bunch of cards. Here's a premium card. Do that. I tend not to get too invested in games like that these days because you get so far into it, go, maybe I will just put some money into it and skip a couple of levels.
But I don't mind their approach. I think this is, there's lessons to be learned from Helldivers versus, some games of the service that we've seen of late, namely Skull and Bones and
Suicide Squad,
Kill the Justice League. Because if you're going for this type of approach and you're going with the premium thing, do it this way. Make the base game £35. Like, that's a first tick in their box. Then make it so that you don't have to buy the premium thing up front, but you get it for the same price if you buy it later. That's another tick. And then make it so it's not too egregious and you can get along fine without it, but it adds a little bit more to the game if you do buy the extra stuff. I think that's the way to go. And the popularity of the game speaks the volumes about this is the right approach, and other companies have not taken a right approach by being greedier and not making themselves as appealing as this game has. There's something to be said about the nature of the game and the makeup of the game, and that being something that lends itself well to clips and just gameplay footage helping to sell the game to people quite easily as well. I think there's something to be said for that. But I think their approach from a financial perspective and the model that they're going with has also appealed to gamers as well. I think that's part of it as well. So, yeah, I've enjoyed the time that I've spent with it as well. Like you said, I can see myself playing more of it. I like their approach. I got in a bit later than you guys, even though I was talking about it beforehand and trying to get you to pick it up so we could all play it together. But yeah, like I can definitely see me playing more of it, and I'm glad for the success. I was also interested, I don't know if you saw, the CEO came out and commented on the situation, and something I've seen people say before but haven't really understood the situation, and he kind of explained it simply in a way that even a numpty like me can understand. But it's not just about more buying more servers and getting more server capacity, that there is coding to be done on their end that would have to be redone to make it so that more people can get in, which is why I think they capped it at one point at 450,000 people concurrent, which is a massive amount to cap it. I think they broke a few records by getting 457.
They have more concurrent players than GTA 5 at the moment on PC, which is a hard feat to break.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think it's good to see that success and good to see them. But also I think they've approached those problems with good comments and keeping lines of communication open and making it so that, you know, like they have said, look, don't buy this game at the moment if it's all your money in the world type thing, and kind of wait for it, which I think he got a bit of flack for saying that type of thing. But I can see where he's coming from, and I think they've approached it in a good way. And it made me want to actually go and buy the game when I was umming and ahhing about it a little bit, having heard the server problems. I was like, no, if you're going to have that approach and be good and you know, kind of show that you're being honorable and upfront with stuff, then I'm prepared to give you the money and wait for you to solve the problems and patch it so there's less other problems as well. And yeah, I want to see this game be successful. So I think, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great, it is just, if you're playing with mates, it is a great fun game. I mean, I think the one thing I would say is don't take it too seriously. Yeah. It is a surprisingly tough game. Yeah, I think it's going to be a laugh. It's actually really tough, and you actually really have to strategize, and it's actually quite cool how it kind of, that just sneaks in. You think, oh, this is going to be a laugh. It's like going to be Starship Troopers. It's going to be big, dumb, blow stuff up fun. And yes, it is a lot of big, dumb, blow stuff up fun, but if you want to do well against a brutal difficulty of it, you do need to plan ahead. But don't take it too seriously. You will get team killed by mistake. Yep. Ask Kevin Jamie. Airstrike them into oblivion multiple times last night.
Just before I joined.
In my defense, it was hilarious.
Yes.
Did you team kill Tim by mistake?
No.
I don't think I did team kill Tim, actually.
I think I accidentally shot Kev at one point, but not to death.
Considering that Tim was very good at running in front of us while we were firing guns, I'm kind of surprised I didn't kill Tim. But it's great fun, though. It is such good. Yeah. I really hope they manage to iron the literal bugs in the server out here in the servers, or the way that kind of multiplayer is going, because it is a heck of a fun time. It really, truly is.
And the three of us do need to play together, because we rarely do that, and we should do that for this.
Yep, we do. And we need to play Sea of Thieves, because I've been saying...
Arr! Arr!
Yarr!
A good pirate game.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I will say I think like on my sixth attempt of trying to get into this game, I went, right, one more, and if I don't get in, I'm refunding this game, because I was really getting annoyed with it. And then the worst bit was when I finally got in, because the games, the last one had a single player mode, so you could play this offline on your own. You could play on the Vita. This time, everything is online all the time. If you can't get into the servers, you can't play. And then when I finally got through the servers, it went, here's a single player tutorial. What the hell? Why couldn't I have done this offline while I was waiting to get into the game?
That would be a good idea.
That bit I didn't get, but other than, yeah, I had fun when I actually got in. I don't know how long I'll stick with it, but it looks fun for multiplayer and stuff and thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. You will have fun times. You will, guarantee, have fun times.
Yeah.
And then Dan will stab you in the back and kill you, but you know.
Yeah. It will be funny. It will be hilarious.
Might be napalm in the back rather than stab in the back.
No. Napalm's more Jamie's MO. I'm just about large explosions is my bag.
Right. We had a Nintendo Partner Showcase on the 21st, and
that's a catchy title.
A lot of people were complaining about the Direct, but people complain about every single Direct that's happened. The more notable things were... True. Yeah, the more notable things were there's going to be a new Super Monkey Ball game called Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble on the 25th of June.
Where did I get those ideas? Incredible. Yeah.
There's a couple of games that look really bad on the Switch. There is a remake of Epic Mickey coming called Epic Mickey Rebrushed. That's coming sometime this year, but it's also coming to PlayStation 5, the Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Shin Megami Tensei 5, which came out 3 years ago on the Nintendo Switch. There's a revamped version called Vengeance, which will have new story type things going on. That's going to be on the Switch, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. There is going to be a remake or report, I guess, of Monster Hunter Stories coming summer this year. Again, Switch, but also PS5 and PC. Gundam Breaker 4 was announced. That's coming to Switch, PS5, and PC, but no release date as of yet. The more interesting news out of the partner showcase was, in fact, the what we were talking about last week with the leaks of Xbox games coming to other platforms. The first were announced. It was Grounded is coming April 16th, but as well as Looking Muddy as Hell on the Nintendo Switch. That's all also coming to the PS5. The PS5 and the PS4. And that's already available on Xbox Series X, S, One, and PC. And I said this wrong last time.
Pentiment.
Thank you. I struggled to say that word. Pentiment is coming out on the... Sorry, is out now on the Switch and PS5. And again, is also available on Xbox
that
and PC.
That is a fun game. I could see that working really well on the Switch, but I'm not sure that the text will be very legible unless they've done something to... adjust that a lot.
And
but,
kind of adjacent to that, a kind of a Microsoft Game Studio owned team, Rare, a bunch of their historic titles are also coming to Switch as well. Although they're originally on the SNES, they've now in the Microsoft camp, but now they've kind of come back to Nintendo. It's like they've come home.
Aww.
All grown up.
And to add to that, outside of the Nintendo Direct, Xbox put on the Xbox blog that there's another two titles coming to rival consoles, and that will be Hi-Fi Rush, which wasn't confirmed for Nintendo Switch, surprisingly, even though the leaks do point that it's meant to be coming to Switch. Maybe it's coming to the next Nintendo thing.
Oh.
But that's coming to PS5 on the 19th of March, and then that'll be shortly followed on April the 30th by Sea of Thieves. So Sea of Thieves, available on Xbox, PS5, and PC with cross-play and cross-progression.
Even
less reason
question.
To pick up Skull and Bones.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Seriously, just hold your fire, get Sea of Thieves. You will have a fun time, PlayStation people, I can guarantee you. Serious question. Do you reckon Sony will allow the Xbox Game Studios logo?
Oh, of course they will, because they already... Yeah. I mean,
kind of weird, won't it?
Using Fortnite, there's already there's been Xbox exclusive characters and stuff popping up. There has been PlayStation Studios
Minecraft?
Appearing. No, I don't think it is in Fortnite. Minecraft.
Okay.
But There have been PlayStation Studios popping up on Xbox thanks to MLB. I can see them just putting Xbox Studios on PlayStation. PlayStation can't stop them doing that. It's their production studio. It's their publishing studio,
But there's something kind of weird about it. I can remember the first time I saw the Bungie logo appear on a PlayStation. It was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Doesn't feel right. But good for Xbox. I mean, I think it was a very cleverly delivered message the way they did it. It was like, hey guys, we think it's in everyone's interest that we can all play together. Also, can we have Helldivers, please? Please, can we have? Is secretly what he was after. But yes,
maybe. There was also some other things alluding to from Phil Spencer that we may very well have the future of Xbox very well may be all of the first party platform games for Xbox, including Activision titles like Blizzard, and they're all coming to Game Pass day one in the future. And
yeah, then that was good news.
Paid for on other platforms. So let's see how we do.
They also confirmed definitely making another console.
Yes. With the risk of setting Tim off, we won't go over that. It is the 1 year anniversary of the PlayStation VR 2's launch. Tim has one. I have one. I'm sure Tim plays his way more than mine. Dan doesn't have one. No. Dan has a, what do you have? You have a Quest 2?
No, I used to. Sold it. Wasn't getting any use out of it.
Well, I was a little jealous because there's a lot more you can do with a PC headset, and it does look like, as well as announcing a bunch of games and DLC, which we won't cover, we'll leave that for VRB because I'm sure that'll be covered at a later date for Tim. They did say that in addition to these new games and DLC for that zombie game that Tim really likes, there will be the functionality of the PSVR 2 to be used on the PC, which they're working on right now. They're testing, hoping that it will be available this year sometime. So keep your ears to the ground for that one.
They did not specify how that works, but yeah, we'll talk about that more on VRB at some point. But yeah,
I wonder if it's going to be a game by game thing rather than opening up the VR 2 to like say
it's,
that.
I know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be remote play to your VR headset through PC and nothing else, and therefore useless.
Although, no, hang on. You say that, but actually, sorry, I'm going to just get my adenoids out. One sec. I think you'll find the way that the Quest headsets are compatible with Steam VR is that they actually use a compressed video feed, so they are streaming your video with some latency to.
Just going to mute Dan for a second. So that's otherwise that's going to go on forever. So what I wanted to say is yes, that is Meta, that is Steam, but we're talking about PlayStation. We're talking about PlayStation, Dan. They're not as
and
good.
We don't
with
know
the streaming
how they're
going to
do it because they haven't look spoken about it. But yeah.
Just take a look at the PlayStation Portal. Right, on with the show. You're right there, Dan.
Is this thing on?
No.
Yeah, you're back.
Right.
Back in the room.
Right. So that is that. There was also a trailer for Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree, which I am told by my Elden Ring loving friends there was lots of things to get your nerd on about in there. I was just like, huh, there's some
big tree.
Bosses.
It was a tree,
there
Dan.
There was a tree.
It was a tree.
Erdtree.
It was a big tree.
Yeah. There's an Erdtree. Erdtree.
There were
you going
more
anywhere with that, or are you just going to say it repeatedly until something?
Tree,
fine?
Dan. Trees.
There were more details released on Eurogamer through an interview they did.
I heard.
But yeah, apparently it takes place in a different era. It looks interesting. There's no more George R. R. Martin content, but hey. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think he had a lot.
Is he still alive, that man?
Yes, he's still alive.
Okay.
If just a quick question regarding, oh, by the way, it's coming out on the 21st of June, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Did they ever fix the frame rate issues on PS5?
I
should look
no
into
idea
that.
They did.
I stopped playing it before it happened. Anyway, if a tree falls in the woods,
I love the game, but it's too big. I have no need to buy more DLC, but I'm sure there'll be people that go mad for this DLC, but still.
Tim, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to erd it.
Erd it.
Did it really?
Jesus.
Did it make a sound?
I don't know if you saw it. They're doing like a limited edition thing with a massive statue that you can buy just for the DLC. It doesn't even come with the base game involved. But yeah.
From Software know how to make money out of tie-in stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
They do. And they will.
Right. Lastly, Tim, you had one that you wanted to add in. So 1 second while I just pull up your theme, because it's basically news. Huzzah! Basically news with Timothy Kenneth James Hibbs.
It's one I wanted to cover just because it's a bit UK focused, and it's a company that we've spoken about before. But Glasgow-based PR company Neon Hive have announced their publishing arm of Neon Hive Games. They give us a bit of support in terms of giving us some review copies and stuff like that, so I'd like to give them a bit of support back when they're announcing this. Also, two of the games that they've announced as the first games that they will be putting out, one of those two games I've actually seen, and the other one I'm interested in as well. So the first one I spoke about previously on the show, I think after I saw it at a show, let's say, because I can't remember which one it was. But Harvest Hunt is interesting kind of horror game. Looks good, coming out from Villainous Game Studios. The other one they're publishing is a game called Slope Crashers, which is by a solo dev, a Bite Parrot, basically.
Solo dev.
But yeah, this sounds interesting. It's a I haven't seen footage of this, so I don't know how good it looks or whatever, but it's snowboarding animals. That's of interest already. An arcade combat racer. Okay, I'm interested. Coming to PC, Nintendo Switch, Xbox Series S and X later this year. It's apparently a cross-platform party game that the whole family can enjoy. So that looks interesting anyway. Two games that they're launching. The CEO, Karina Abbott, had a couple of things to say. She said, "This feels like such a natural next step for us. We have hit the ground running with our established teams that have huge trust and connections with the industry and that have been helping developers self-publish for the last 6 years. I'm over the moon that one of our first signings is a previous client as well." So yeah, but just as I said, it's good to see and stuff like that. They've also they won an award for Creative Agency of the Year last year, and they've done stuff at WASD and stuff like that before. But also, one of the things we spoke about them doing on the show is a really good thing that they did. They helped raise over £66,000 for Glasgow Children's Hospital charity in the Games for Weans campaign, which we mentioned on the show before. And they also created the first ever Scottish game sale on Steam as well. So they're a good thing for kind of flying the flag for Scottish games and doing good work while doing that as well. So I think it's good to sort of give them a shout out when they're sort of stepping out into new ventures. So we wish them luck in doing so as well. So I just wanted to kind of mention that on the show.
And if you want to check out Slope Crashers, you can actually download a demo on Steam right now.
If you want to see what
they're up to on Steam, I say. Well worth checking out as well.
Good.
I'm just appreciating the bagpipes. Beautiful. And one last little tiny bit of news before we wrap the show up as well. As expected, the Game Pass catalogue continues to expand. Dead Island 2's been added to it. It's out now. And in news that will surprise absolutely no one, Diablo 4 is finally coming to Game Pass.
March 28th. March the 28th.
Regrettably, Dead Island 2. Spoke about it before in the show. Really love that game. Glad that more people are going to get to experience it. I do recommend downloading it, even though it's probably going to be a hefty download, but that is a good fun game. Enjoy that. I'm looking forward to Diablo 4 because I didn't buy that either. So yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Right. That's it.
Let's wrap up.
We've got to get the heck out of here. But
we've got to get busy with the fizzy.
Exactly. But I do need to remind you that you need to go to tpublic.com/stores/BRB, buy things with my face on it. That's it. If there's something there that doesn't have my face on it that you think should have my face on it, you should go and buy things with my face on it. All right? My face. There.
Other things.
tpublic.com/stores/BRB.
but not as Tim. Cool as Dan's face. Dan's face, it's on a t-shirt. Dan's face, it doesn't hurt. Dan's face, you can buy it now. Dan's face at tpublic.com/store/brb.
Yeah, you didn't really think that last bit out, did you? That well.
No. I don't think on my syllables. Feet too well.
No, no. But Tim, Tuesday is Tuesday, is it not?
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, Dan.
On Tuesday.
And each and every Tuesday, we do an event at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. This week's event is a real doozy. We've got a returning game that we've had before, but we've got a different variation of it now as well.
Blood
so
on
it's
the clock
a game
tower.
Called Clask. No, it's a game called Clask. It is a... the standard game is a really good two-player game. It's a bit like kind of a tabletop air hockey table that isn't really air hockey. Kind of, it's got magnets rather than air.
I remember
it's
this.
A really fun
I'm
little game.
I'm somehow more confused at the end of this sentence. Than
good,
I was
good.
At the
well, you can check
continue.
Out more details. There's a little video and a picture on Big Red Barrel in the top left-hand corner. But also, we've got the four-player variant of the game, which is a circle rather than the rectangular sort of game that we've of the two-player variant. We've got both the two and four-player variants that we'll be able to play at Loading, and you can win yourself one of the two-player variants. It's quite a high-priced game, right? But it's kind of worth it because it's kind of cool. But this is going to make a great prize. So I urge you to come along to Tabletop Tuesday and you could win a two-player table of your very own just for coming along and playing it on the Tuesday. It's really good. I know one of our listeners is the US champion as well. So I know one of our US listeners came over to Tabletop Tuesday and came and practiced before he went to the World Finals in Manchester. I never actually found out how he got on, so I don't know if he's world champion as well as US champion, but I'm meaning to check. But if you're listening, give me a shout and let me know. But yeah, so do come along to the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington, or you can check out more details on the top left-hand corner of Big Red Barrel, or you can join the over 2,100 people in our Meetup group. Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com.
Nom. Okay. Lovely. I like meat.
Right, if you've enjoyed this show, then you are a weirdo, but we love you all the same. You can go over to whatever podcasting platform you are listening to us on and then give us a review. That would be great. We do love a 5-star. If that is what you would like to give us, that would be flipping lovely. We're also available on this funny little website we like to call bigredbarrel.com. Over there mm-hmm. is a link to our
Never
Discord. We, you can come to our Discord, talk to us, raise discussions, ask us questions. We're going to start getting those back on the show as soon as we figure out our format again properly. It's been a bit all over the place since we've come back for the year. 2024 has been odd. Anyway,
got lots of games to talk about, so that's not bad.
Yes, so many we words, have, so little time.
We have social media. You can find us over on Facebook, X, and Threads at Big Red Barrel, and you can find us on YouTube, Big Red Barrel. TV. Those are the ways you can get a hold of us. Leave us comments on any of those. It will get back to us. I see we're getting more comments on YouTube. That's been nice. If we could get more viewers on there, like, comment, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff. YouTube is a nice platform because we can show our faces on it and video That's clips, of which, little behind the scenes for you all, I pulled like 30 clips to play on this show and I forgot. So I only played one.
Yay!
That's and I forgot going. To do that until way too late as well. So, you know.
We're the best.
I'm a little bit of sorts lately. Yes. Get in contact. Yes. That'd be great. Oh.
So if you want to rate, comment, subscribe, you will make three middle-aged men who have a diminishing understanding of how the internet works in the modern day and age very happy.
One middle-aged and two pensioners.
Wow.
Tell me about the war, Grandad.
If we were, like, you know, professional gamers, we'd be pensioned off by now. So that's kind of fair.
Yeah. Tell me how things were different back in your day.
OAGs.
We don't have time. Oh,
tell
man,
me how kids used to have respect for their elders.
I'll tell you
Get
what.
Get off my lawn, Dan.
Kids Norman. These days with their high defs and their Blu-rays, they don't know they're born.
Don't even know they're born.
my day, it was all bips and boops and...
With their Rock'em Sock'em robots and their Pac-Man games.
Do you really?
We had wires for our controllers, would you believe? My first console was made out of wood, Coleman. Wood, I tell you.
And frankly, anything more than 16 bits kind of seems like a waste to me.
Yeah.
Really?
How many bits have we got now? I don't even know. Like, who knows?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Right, we're going. We've had enough of this show. Or I have, and you probably have too, listeners. So we are going to disappear and we shall reappear next week. Thank you so much for listening. All that really remains for me to do is to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Ooh, I've been messing with the Final Fantasy VII timeline.
I hear that's bad for your health and your eyesight.
Yeah. Good, okay. I guess. Good. Well done you, Coleman. So thank you for downloading us. We'll be back next week. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
The podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.